Well, in April of 2003, Aaron Ralston was on a solo climbing trip in Utah's Canyonlands National Park. One of our family are unlike, we didn't go and dislodge 800-pound boulders above us. The next thing he knew, his right arm was lodged between the boulder and a canyon wall. He was quite literally caught between a rock and a hard place. He was also trapped 100 feet above the desert floor and 20 miles away from the road. He was entombed in the wilderness of Blue John Canyon, and he had a small rucksack with just one quart of water, two burritos, and a few chunks of chocolate. He had headphones and a video camera, but no mobile phone. He wouldn't have had reception anyway. And the biggest problem of all, he hadn't told anyone where he was going. He carefully actually a picture of or on his video recorder. He carefully had to ration his water, and he chipped away for several days on this 800-pound rock. And he began to go into a state of delirium. He eventually ran out of water, and he was forced to drink his urine in order to survive. Well, he convinced he was about to die. He recorded messages for his family, for his loved ones, and he even carved his epitaph on the wall of the canyon so people would know when he passed away. Well, it's said that he fell asleep eventually, and he had a dream in which he saw himself with one arm. So when he woke up, he broke his own arm, and then he amputated it using a cheap 2-inch free multi-tool in a grueling process that took an hour. Well, then after he managed to free himself, he had to rappel down a 65-foot cliff, and then he had an 8-mile hike through the desert. Well, for 6 miles, he stumbled his way until he came across a Dutch family on vacation, and they gave him water and helped him until he got closer to his car, when all of a sudden out of the sky came a helicopter which had been dispatched to try to find him. His ordeal was the inspiration for the film 127 Hours. He had a life and death choice to make: lose his arm or lose his life. Well, if you're a follower of Jesus, you've already had to make a similar choice: die to yourself and live for Jesus, or die. Jesus tells us in Luke 9, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to lose his life, or save his life, rather, must lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his very self? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said something that must have shocked his listeners. He said, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out, throw it away. And it's better for you to lose part of your eye, part of your body, than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Then in Matthew 18, he repeated a lot of it, but he also talked about the need to dispense with a foot as well as a hand and eye. You know, that's quite a graphic word picture, especially if you're trapped in the desert with an 800-pound boulder on you. Eventually, the Park Service, took 13 guys and a mechanical winch to get the thing off his arm, and eventually they cremated it and gave him the remains. I guess they didn't want people trying to go find that rock. Though I guess they do, but there's just no arm there. So nevertheless, does Jesus actually want us to take blades to our body parts? No, he's speaking figuratively. He's using shocking language to say, deal with sin, people. You see, sin is so serious that punishment is death. The person that loves sin above God will not have God. And you know, either we pay the penalty for our sin with our own lives, or we accept the fact that Jesus died for our sins and took the penalty we deserve. Let me tell you, whatever is holding you back from God, deal with it. Ralston had to take really drastic measures to save his physical life. We need to take measures to respond to what God's done to save our spiritual lives. There is nothing more important than God. You do not want to be in hell saying, well, at least I got to keep the $15. That's just, or whatever the case might be. You know, so if your eyes are leading to a bad place, do something. block those things on your phone, cut the cable, whatever it takes. Avoid certain places. You know, if you're using your hand for evil, for hitting, for hurting, stealing, whatever, with God's help, do something different. No sin's worth going to hell for. Now, I will say, though, it's not that certain sins will send you to hell, but refusing to receive the pardon from Jesus is what will. And if you love sin more than Jesus, you better ask yourself, am I really a child of God? Now, it doesn't mean you have to be perfect, because none of us are. And if you keep falling into certain sin, but then you repent, that's where you want to be. But if you don't care what God says and keep plunging ahead and sin with pride, well, that's a major issue. Because Jesus told us in John, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And if you don't want to keep his commands, I have a feeling you don't really love Jesus. Remember, God took sin so seriously, he sent Jesus to die for it. The creator of the universe literally was put to death. My sin, your sin was put on him. And God wants holiness, so let's not just say, it's just a little sin. No, one little sin's enough to put Jesus to death, and it's enough to put you to death, too, unless you receive his pardon. Well, in Colossians 3, Paul is addressing believers, sincere Christians who are having their ups and downs, and he wants them to now, in light of all God has done for them, in the light of the fact that Jesus is supreme, he's sufficient, and he alone satisfies, he wants them to live in a way pleasing to God. He wants them to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And so we saw at the very beginning of chapter 3, he says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. And now he's going to say, put away sin and put on Christ. He's going to be really clear. I don't know if you ever saw The Karate Kid, but I remember Mr. Miyagi saying, wax on, wax off. Well, wax that sin off and put Jesus on. If that makes any sense to you, probably doesn't. You're looking at me funny. But anyway, it's an easy passage to understand. It's a really hard passage to do. So let's look at Colossians 3:5-14. He says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Trust me, people of God, you do not want the wrath of God on you. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off the old self with its practices. You've put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge and image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other in love and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. To begin with, put to death. And what are you to put to death? Whatever belongs to your earthly nature. When the Colossians became Christians, they put Jesus was in their life, and they have his life, and their old life died. That's the case with all who put their faith in Christ. And Christians are to count it true, to act on it, and think accordingly. Don't go on living like sin's alive in you. Yes, we struggle. We still have an old nature that won't be fully put to death till we get to heaven. But keep in mind, the old nature goes with the things below. The new nature goes with the things above. And we are new creations in Christ. We've been raised with him. We've died with him. We will be glorified in him, and we're to reflect this. The Greek sense of put to death suggests decisive action. Kill it. Mortify it. Do it now. This isn't just manage your sin, suppress your sin, control it for the most part. You know, and if it pops out a little bit here and there, that's okay. No, no, no. Put it to death now. Slay it. Act urgently. Do what it takes. No matter how difficult. You know, this is not, you know, many of us like to garden or else keep the house, or not the house, the yard looking semi-decent. This is not just pull the top of the wheat, the dandelions off. What happens if you pluck a dandelion flower off? Another one grows back instantly. No, this is get a stick of dynamite and blow the roots up once and for all. Now, that would be exciting. I'm going to try it in your yard before I try it in mine. But nevertheless, put to death means murder it. If your big toe has got gangrene, don't just go, wow, isn't that weird? It's kind of green and stinky. No, get rid of it. Otherwise, it will literally kill you. It will not be fun, but necessary. I don't like going to the dentist when they make, especially that high squealing, like, thing. Oh, man, I have to put earplugs in. About drives me nuts. But I know it's good for me. But getting rid of sin is good for you. If you've got a wasp in your shirt, pound the stink out of that thing until there's nothing left but goo and guts. You know, you just don't go, no. Put it to death, you know. In Romans 6, we're told, count ourselves dead to sin but alive to God in Christ. Ralston had a choice to make. Do I want to live or do I want to die? This is going to be painful, but I'll take it on. And here's what he said afterwards. When I amputated, I felt every part of it. It hurt to break the bone, and it certainly hurt to cut the nerve. But cutting the muscle wasn't so bad because it had started to die. But anyway, he says, overall, it was 100 times worse than any pain I'd ever felt before. It totally recalibrated what I'd understood pain to be. At the same time, it was also the most beautiful thing I'd ever felt. Well, one pastor said, I can't think of a better description of getting rid of sin, putting sin to death. Putting sin out of our lives is not bloodless. It's not easy. It is most difficult. Maybe you have to cut off a relationship. Maybe you have to get honest with the IRS. Maybe you've got to do something else. And you've had a sin pattern for a long time. Well, on one hand, it's going to be the most painful thing ever. On the other hand, it may be the most beautiful thing ever. So if you've got something getting in between your relationship with you and Jesus, kill it. It's not worth it. And then next, Paul is going to list some of the sins that need to be put to death. Put off. Put off sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Those things belong to the old life, not the new life. Well, the first thing is put off sexual immorality. This is illicit sexual intercourse, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, bestiality, and whatever else they're coming up with these days. Get rid of those things. Put off impurity. That's uncleanliness in thought, word, and act. If it's dirty, unclean, or unholy, it's not what we should have on. Then there's lust. This is uncontrolled, illegitimate desire. It's our mind going in the wrong places. If we're viewing porn or even the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition, which leaves nothing to the imagination anymore, that's not going to help with this. He says, put off evil desires. Evil desires lead to bad places. In general, what you desire determines what you do. If all you like is candy, that's probably all you'll want to mostly eat. So just like we have to train our kids to eat more than just junk food, we probably got to train ourselves, too. We got to train them. Eventually, hopefully, they'll start liking those Brussels sprouts. So I can't say it's totally worked with me, but at least I know they're good for me. Well, David prayed, create me a clean heart. Jesus said, out of the heart is where the desires come from. Well, another thing is put off greed, which is idolatry. Think about this. If it's all about get. You know that 10th commandment, don't covet? If all you want to get, then guess what is becoming super important to you? And that becomes idolatry. And boy, God's a jealous God. He doesn't like that. You know how much is enough for a greedy person? One more dollar. Well, and then we read in verse 6, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You don't want God's wrath on you. We were looking at Daniel 5 at the Connect group on Thursday at the Peyton's house. We had no power, so we met outside, and God provided all the light we needed. But we were talking about the last king of Babylon, and the writing was on the wall. And Daniel told him, you did not humble yourself like your father. He said, you have set yourself up against the king of heaven. That's one of the scariest verses in the Bible. You have set yourself up against God. Let me tell you, if you fight God, you will lose. Anybody. You know, we've got to pray for our political leaders and those aspiring to leadership, that they would not set themselves up against God, but that they would humble themselves. We better pray for ourselves, too. You know, there was a pastor who once preached a bunch of sermons about the sins of the saints, and a member of the congregation once told him maybe he should preach more towards non-Christians. He said, after all, sin in the life of a Christian is different from the lives of other people. And the pastor said, yes, that's true. It's worse. You know, if people don't come to church and don't claim Jesus are sinning like crazy, well, that's what sinners do. But if we who have been identified with the name of Jesus sin, there's a big problem. And then next, he talks about what people used to do. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. You know, and think about Paul. He knew what it was like to be angry and to slander. He even knew what it was like to be responsible to murder. But he said, that was before. This is now. You know, I have a feeling you used to dirty your drawers before you were age 4. But you shouldn't be doing that now. Unless there's something really going wrong, and then we'll pray for you. And thank the Lord for the Depends company. But nevertheless, what I'm saying is this is not you. That used to be the case, but you should be past the soiled diaper stage now. And, so it may be that there's a few more things in your life that you need to make walk the plank. A while back, there was a church in Louisiana. It had a message on the church sign that said, all of you who are tired of sin, come on in. Well, underneath that, scribbled in pink lipstick, were the words, all you that ate, call 2242. Don't do that. Don't call that number. Get rid of it. Any of you, you're all looking at me funny. Anyway, but sensual sins are bad, but even social sins are bad. Put them away. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language. These are things that, in old-fashioned language, are unbecoming to a Christian. They shouldn't fit. These, even if they're so-called, you can get away with them sins, God doesn't like them. It says, put off and put on. This is a picture of a person changing clothes. Rid is like throw it off like a dirty shirt. You know, I have my painting pants and my preaching pants. And you can tell the difference. I put one off and put the other on, depending on what I'm doing. Well, I was doing a bunch of purging in my closet about a month or so ago. And I found my old college sweatshirt. I've had that for 33 years, because it's going back in time. And the collar is ragged, it's stained, it is wore out, and it had to go in the rag bag. And you guys know how painful that is? You girls can't understand, I realize that. Well, the good news is I cut it up in rags, and so I'm going to get to use that same sweatshirt for the next few years in my garage. So every time I'm like, oh, I remember that thing. And again, you ladies can't understand, but you got to get rid of certain things you got to get rid of. But ladies, don't try to clean out your husband's closet. It's just not going to go well for anybody. But just think about it this way. You don't have to wear that stuff, so it's okay. Anyway, now I'm really in trouble. But anyway, put off certain things, put on Jesus. When he rose from the dead, he left the grave clothes behind. He didn't need them because he was alive. When Lazarus was raised by Jesus from the dead, Jesus said, take the grave clothes off and let him go. Basically, Jesus told the onlookers, get them stinky old rags off my man Lazarus. He doesn't need them anymore. Symbolically, the grave clothes represent our old life, and now we have new life, and we're to walk in newness of life. So things to put off are anger. God can get angry and not sin. We rarely can. Righteous anger sometimes occurs, but it's a fine line. We got to be really careful. Then there's put off rage. These are uncontrolled outbursts. Malice, the kind of thing where you really want to do somebody in. That guy who is such a jerk driver, you know, that imprecatory prayer of them in the guardrail, that's malice. That's not a good thing. Slander, it's speech that insults and tears others down. It can be gossipy prayers. I really shouldn't tell you this, but I'm going to give you all the juicy details so you can lift them up in prayer. Bad idea. Filthy language. We all kind of know what that is. Guys, there's some jokes that are okay in guy company and some that we probably shouldn't pass along because the only jokes we remember are the bad ones. So nevertheless, there's some other things in verse 9 we're to put off. Do not lie to each other. Why? Since you've taken off your old self with its practices. Lions manipulating and misrepresenting the truth. Now, if my watch is wrong, and you ask me what time it is, and I tell you the time it says here, that's not a lie. I didn't mean to, but if you ask me one thing and I deliberately tell you something else, that's a problem. Remember, we're followers of the one who says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. We're followers of the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. Meanwhile, who is the father of lies? And who is the liar? It's the devil. So if a Christian lies, they're cooperating with the devil. Not a good partnership. But if we tell the truth, we're cooperating with the Spirit. You know, the time I'm most tempted to lie is when I get really behind in my email and texts. And I have this, I'm tempted to say, I lost it in my inbox. When the reality is, I'm a lame-o with a procrastination problem. There's a big difference. I just went to the doctor, so the other's fine, but wow. We're going to need to edit this sermon. But some of you may have that other issue, so go get checked. It's important. But having put off all those kind of things, what do we do next? Wow, it's warm too. Yeah, put on. And here's what makes a shift. We have put off, then we have put on. Remove what's bad, put on what's good. Kim and I, we had Dr. Reeve when we went to seminary. And she had an exercise that she taught everyone. And said, so identify a behavior or a thinking pattern that's bad. Stop doing that, but replace it with something else. So the phrase we had to learn was, I will stop doing XYZ behavior, and I will start doing ABC. So an example, in order to lose weight, I will stop eating Fritos, Funyuns, Fruit Loops, and French fries, and instead I will start eating fruit. Boom. Stop doing this, start doing this. And really, that's what this passage is about. Stop sinning, put those things off, and do what's right in God's eyes. And so in verse 10, we have, put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of its creator. Put off, put on, a once for all action. Don't keep putting on that stinky shirt that smells like it came from a septic tank sucking service supervisor. Toss it, burn it, blow it up. Instead, put on that thing that smells decent your wife doesn't mind you wearing. You know, be aware. Renewed is a present participle. It implies constantly being renewed, day by day. You see, the old nature just wants to keep sneaking in there. We've got to beat it down. The new nature, though, we have Christ, we have the Holy Spirit, we have to tap into his power. And how can that happen? Well, a lot of it is renewing our minds. Think about what is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. Because God's goal for us is that we'll be conformed to the image of his Son. And that's a lifelong process. One person said, we can be formed in God's image and deformed from God's image from sin, but through Jesus we can be transformed into Christ's image. Well, then Paul begins to talk a little bit about distinctions, and distinctions that really don't matter in comparison to Jesus anymore. He says, here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. These days we hear about identity politics and intersectionality, and they're all the rage, and everyone's dividing themselves up into national, religious, cultural, sexual, and whatever things, and people are fixated on pigeonholing themselves or others. Paul is saying, don't worry about those categories. The number one thing you need to think about as children of God is you're in Jesus. Jesus is your identity, what he says about you. Yes, those things are important. If you're a Hungarian, Czechoslovakian, goulash it up. That's cool. That's okay. Or, you know, if you God made you a woman, that's a good thing. We're glad. But ultimately, who are you? You're in Jesus. And that makes all the difference. Paul says we're all in Christ Jesus. And loyalty to him must take precedence over everything else. Well, why do we put off the old and put on the new? And verse 12 is going to give us four great reasons. We're chosen by God. We're set apart by God. We're loved by him. And thankfully, we're forgiven by him too. And so clothe yourselves, contrast with put to death and rid yourselves. In a sense, you've stripped off the old stuff. Now get dressed with the other things. And Paul is going to remind the people what he's done for them. In verse 12, he says, put on. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. It is amazing. God chose you before the foundation of the world to make you holy and blameless in his sight. You've been set apart unto him for a special purpose. You know, it'd be a real drag if you got married to that special someone, and then she ran off with the best man during the reception. That would not be good. You know, as Christians, we don't want to do that. We've been united with Christ. We don't want to be going off with the devil and all our sin. God loves us. He wants us to be separated for him. And we're to put on compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Patience, the old term, is long-suffering. We know what that's like. It's not always easy to put up with folks, but sometimes that's what God would have us do. And the other thing God has done is he's forgiven us. In verse 13, bear with each other, forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Bear with people rather than punch them out. That's easier said than done, by the way. Forgive. God has forgiven us. We're to forgive others. It's hard not to retaliate, but we are to put them in God's hands. And lastly, we're to put on love in verse 14. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. In a sense, love is like a belt. Depending on what kind of pants you've got on, if you don't wear a belt, down they go. But if you got a belt, that holds everything together, or it ties your outfit together. Somewhere I read that only Chuck Norris can get away with brown shoes and a black belt, but that's because no one's going to tell him anything otherwise. But nevertheless, the belt holds things together. Love holds things together. I listed some things in your handout, and I hope you'll take a look at them. And I urge you, give some thought to these questions. What have you put on or off? What do you need to put on or off? How can Christ help you? And how can you enlist someone else to help you? I've got struggles in my life. I need help people to come alongside me. And I know all of you do too, whether we want to admit it or not. Let's come alongside each other. Well, a number of years ago, there was an atheist prize fighter who became a Christian. Someone had shared him very logically, with some apologetic arguments, and his atheism crumbled. And he embraced Christ. But his love of his old life died hard, and he became very active in church and sharing his faith, and he grew in grace and knowledge of God, but he went on boxing. The ring was in his blood. Well, one day a fellow believer asked him, how are things going? He goes, oh, I got a big fight coming up next week. I really need to win. And the wise old man asked him, well, have you prayed about it? He said, prayed about what? Prayed about your fight. He said, you should know by now you can talk to God about anything. Would you like me to pray right now about your upcoming fight? And he kind of went, okay. So kneel down, the man told him, and that was kind of a strange thing, but the guy did. And then the old man began to pray, Father in heaven, I come to you in the precious name of your son. I thank you for your love, for putting me in your family, and for saving this dear younger brother here. You know all about his fight coming up next week. He says he needs to win that fight. Father, please help him beat that other fellow to a pulp. May he batter him all over the ring. May he bash his face in and knock out all his teeth, smash up his nose. May he knock him down and then knock him out stone cold. In the name of your son or savior, amen. And the converted boxer looked at this old saint and didn't know what to say. And finally he said, you can't pray like that. And the old man said, you can't live like that. Now, I'm not saying if you're a boxer, I don't see any boxer, or any of you MMA people on the sly. Well, nevertheless, talk to God about it. But the young Christian eventually this man, true story, did leave the ring. He put off the old man. That's what God wanted him to do. And he became a guy that God used in a mighty way. People of God, whatever you've got going on, whatever you need to put off, put off. Put to death. Put it away. And put on Jesus. Put on his characteristics. And let's help each other. Some of you, I know, got bad shoulders and you have a hard time putting on stuff and you got to ask for help. Well, all of us do to some degree. Let's ask for help so that we can be dressed more like Jesus. Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's powerful, it's relevant. Lord, help me to take steps to put off sin and put on you. and I pray each one here would do so as well. We give you thanks, and we're grateful too. We'll be able to enjoy some coffee talk fellowship in just a moment. In your name I pray, amen.